You're listening to a
Flawless Noises
Media Network production.
On this episode, we're going to be exploring how to talk to your kids about grief and how to cope with grief as a parent. Don't forget, the Somebody Sexy Ass Mama shirts are live on the Flawless Noises website. You can get yours customized in whatever way you want. I have seen Somebody Sexy Ass Auntie, Somebody Sexy Ass Grandma. Please take advantage of it while they're out. And don't forget, the Flawless Noises live show is canceled. However, I will be in Atlanta the weekend of February the 28th. And if you'd like to link up, hit me up. It's Bree. Welcome to another episode of the Mama Meets World podcast. I am your host again, Miss Bree. Thank you for tuning in today. So, you can reach me at any of the following. Of course, my Twitter is Mama Meets Pod. Instagram is Mama Meets World Pod. My Facebook page is the Mama Meets World podcast. My email address is mamameetsworldpod@gmail.com. If you want to follow me on my personal pages, Twitter is @_itsMissBree, and my personal Instagram page is Breetastical. Don't forget to subscribe to the show. If you use iTunes, leave a review for me. Leave a review wherever you like to listen to the show. I would be thrilled to get a review. So this has been kind of a very heavy week. As we all know, we lost a great in Kobe Bryant a little over a week ago at this point that I'm coming to you. And it has brought up all kinds of things around my household. My son is 4. He is a huge Lakers fan. And when he found out that Kobe Bryant passed away, he was actually with his dad. And I think his dad talked to him a little bit about it. But of course, when he got home, he had lots of questions. So Jameson has a basic understanding of what death is. He understands that death means that you're not coming back. But he has never experienced death with anyone close to him, so he has no concept of grieving or how it feels. But he knew that he was sad because Kobe Bryant died. He kept wanting to talk about how he died and how someone dies in a helicopter. And it was almost strange because, you know, grief hits you in ways that you can't even imagine. And grief is one of those things I learned when I was grieving a couple of friends of mine that passed away, that grief is a circle and there's no definitive end to grief. Grief kind of just goes around and around, and eventually the pain fades out and the memories fade in, but the pain never all the way goes away. And looking at my son, trying to understand what it means that somebody that he cared for is no longer on this earth, it was just a lot, you know, because it brought up my own feelings of mortality. It brought up what it means for me to grieve in my personal life. Losing somebody so prolific kind of makes you wonder, you know, if Kobe can go, anybody can go. And of course, we all know that life is not guaranteed. It's not promised. But I think that when you have kind of like a smack in the face, like that kind of reality, it puts you in a place where oftentimes as parents, we don't want to be, because of course, we don't want our kids to see us sad and upset. We don't want our kids to see us grieving. But grief is, and death and loss is a part of life in general. And I wanted to talk today about just some tips on how to talk to your kids about grief, how to talk to your kids about loss, because I know a lot of us are struggling, you know, balancing our own feelings and prioritizing our children's feelings, especially when it comes to complex emotions like grief. So what I've done for Jameson is I've encouraged him to talk about it. I don't know if Jameson's truly sad that Kobe Bryant passed away, but I know that he knew that he was an important figure. And I think that seeing other people grieve him and seeing the tributes on TV and hearing it on the radio, etc., has kind of piqued his curiosity and wanting to know more about what happens when people die. So Jameson has it straight out asked me what happens when people die, but we had a conversation in the car on the way to daycare, like the day after it happens, and he's like, D'Kobe Bryant, and he's calling him Kofi Bryant because Kofi Kingston's like his favorite wrestler in the world. It's like, D'Kobe Bryant, did he die? And I'm like, yes, Jameson, you know, he died. And Jameson's like, is he in the sky? And I'm like, well, I believe that he's in the sky in heaven with God. And, you know, Jameson's like, oh, Nana told me about God. I've been really cautious about pushing religion on my children. And that's basically because of my own personal experience. I was raised in a very heaven or hell type of environment, and I was scared to death I was going to be damned for stealing penny candy out the store or forgetting to say I'm sorry to somebody. So I've been really sensitive when it comes to introducing topics like religion to my children. But Jameson's aware that, you know, I believe in God and I pray and all that good stuff, and he has a praying grandmother, thank God. And, you know, his grandmother has introduced him to different concepts as far as religion. So Jameson's trying to, you know, use his mind to tie in grief and death to what is heaven, what is God, and it's made for some pretty interesting conversations over this last week or so. So the one thing that I'm cautious to do, and the one thing that I'm telling you that you should do, is make sure that you're in a space to listen when your kids are talking about their grief, because it doesn't always sound sad. Jameson's grief, or Jameson's curiosity about death, is coming across as just pure curiosity, wanting to know what happens to you when you're gone. And I've told him, you know, some people believe that you just lay in the ground. Some people believe that you go to heaven. Some people believe that you come back as somebody else. And Jameson is over the top about this, coming back as somebody else, because he's like, can you pick who you come back as? Well, how do you know you won't come back as an animal? And it's been funny, honestly, because Jameson's a jokester, but it's been nice to give him a space that I didn't have when I was a kid, to kind of figure things out, because, of course, I grew up in a very Black Baptist household, and there was only one thing that happens to you when you die. You either go to hell or you go to heaven. And, you know, my people would be very clear, you know, when a figure died, that, hey, they're probably going to hell or they're probably going to heaven. Another thing that I am encouraging you to do is just listen. Listen and be open. And when your kids are small, like Jameson, again, he's 4, I like to keep the answers short and sweet to open it up for them to kind of talk to you about what they're going through. But dealing with grief with older children, like Jaden, who is 13 now, I don't treat her like she doesn't know anything. I don't treat her like she can't understand complex subjects like death. Honestly, this time has been hard for me, not because I was particularly a sports fan or anything, because God knows I don't really get into sports like that. And I'll tell you honestly, I stopped caring about NBA in 2001 when it was the Sixers versus the Lakers in the series, and I was rooting for Allen Iverson with all of my heart. This was the first time I ever watched a series championship, and when the Lakers won over Allen Iverson and the 76ers, I was big mad. I'm like, I'm not doing this shit again. My emotions get too wrapped up in sports and in anything, just because I am a person who feels with everything. So I'm like, I'm not setting myself up for this kind of failure again. I will not be rooting for any team. And I kind of let it fall off. So again, I wasn't like a huge Kobe Bryant fan, but just the loss, and then constantly being surrounded by grief, constantly being surrounded by people's sadness, really took me to a place where I was remembering how I was grieving with my own experiences with loss. I've talked about it on the show before, but I lost a really good friend in 2017. Her name was Brandy. Brandy was my soulmate. She was my rider. She was basically my reflection. I was her reflection. I literally had never met anyone that made me feel like so understood, so loved, so wanted, so like amazing. Like, she was the best friend I could ever ask for. And she passed away She had a pulmonary embolism. So it was very sudden. And being surrounded by all this grief always makes me think of losing her. It makes me think of losing my other good friend, DeVore, that I lost in 2013. It brings up these unresolved issues. And I was cooking dinner last week sometime, and I just had my radio playing, like, on shuffle. Like, I had my iTunes on shuffle, and a song came up. Strangely enough, let me tell you how eerie this was, right? I like gospel music in a certain space, but when I'm doing my mixes, I usually don't incorporate gospel music. Like, I have to be in a specific mood, and out of nowhere, Total Praise starts playing. I never listened to gospel music in my mixes. I had it on, like, iTunes radio so it could go wherever I wanted. And I was like, I just stopped in my tracks because Total Praise was a song that DeVore sung because she was a church-going choir lady. She loved praise. She loved worship music. She loved that song. And that was a song that they sung at her funeral that I lost it to. And I just start, like, tears just start running down my face out of nowhere. And Jaden was in the kitchen with me, and she was just like, what's up? And in that moment, I decided I was going to be honest with her, because I know when I was growing up and I would see my mother sad, my mom would make a point not to tell me anything about her sadness. She would make a point not to give me any more information about why she was sad. She would often, you know, and while she was in her feelings, kind of get mad and be like, why don't you go somewhere, or why are you looking at me, or go away. And I just straight up told Jaden, you know what, I'm sad, I'm thinking about DeVore, I'm thinking about Brandy, I'm thinking about losing my friends. And, you know, it just kind of hit me, this song was important, you know, to my friendship, and I didn't expect for it to play, and it hit me. And she didn't offer any consolation or anything. She was basically just like, oh, okay, I hope you're okay. And she kept going about her day. But I think it's revolutionary to be able to be in a place where you could be honest with your kids. I don't think it's a good idea to hide grief from your kids. I don't want my kids growing up thinking that I was some superhero. They're going to think, just because you're their mother, that you're extraordinary and you're special. You don't have to do anything other than be yourself for them to think that. But I don't want them to grow up in this unrealistic place where they think that moms don't have emotions, or your mom doesn't have feelings, or your mom never feels grief or gets sad or has any moment, or your mom is always on. Because God knows, you know, I sit here on Twitter and I see how many people make their parents out to be these deities because they didn't see them struggle, or they didn't see them cry or get upset. Not that it didn't happen, just because that they didn't see it. And I want my kids, you know, to have realistic and real coping skills as they get older. And my hope is that as they see me coping with things, as they see me wrestling with things as a parent, they'll view me as a human. It took me a very long time to realize my mother was a human too. It took me a long time to assign her personhood, as strange as it sounds, because, you know, our parents are superheroes. And even when they're not superheroes, or you didn't grow up in a space where your parent was your superhero, you don't think about your parents as people. You think about your parents as parents. And I really want to avoid that with my kids. I don't want them to put me on this pedestal thinking that I can't do any wrong or I never feel anything, because I don't think it's healthy. I think that it took me a long time to learn real coping skills as an adult, because I didn't ever see my mother cope with anything. All I saw was this strong black woman trope, and I really want to get rid of that, because I don't want to teach my daughter that she has to be a strong black woman to be valued in the society. I don't want to teach her that she has to hold in her emotions, you know, or that her emotions aren't valid. I want to teach her that if you need to make a space for it, make a space for the shit. Like, even if it's uncomfortable for other people, you need to do what's comfortable and right for yourself. So those are just a couple of tips that I have about dealing with grief. Of course, it's going to be different for every parent and every child's relationship. But the two things I'm telling you is, try to be honest. And number two, Don't try to always hide your grief. Of course you want your kids to see you put together, but if your kids see you cry, it is not the end of the world. And a lot of those times, those times that you're crying or you're upset, they can become teachable moments if you are cognitive of what you're doing and you're making sure that you're still being gentle with them and their personalities and their hearts and really truly explaining why you feel the way you feel. So yeah, this was a, we're kind of on the upswing now. You know, I want to publicly give my love to Vanessa Bryant. I can't imagine losing my husband or my mate, but the one thing that I hope to never experience and that I truly, truly can't imagine to lose is losing my child. And I know she's going through, and I hope and pray that she's got all the comfort and the support that she could ever ask for around her right now. And I've seen so many beautiful messages to her and the grace that she's shown, even making a statement, because I'd be no more good. I would probably wouldn't even show my face for months or give any statements, because, I mean, she's not obligated to do shit. Another thing that is kind of, I really thought about not talking about it, but then, you know, y'all are my family, y'all are my listeners, and I really wanted a space where I could share my thoughts about this girl dad hashtag. So an ESPN reporter shared this gorgeous story about Kobe Bryant and how when she was expecting her second girl, when he found out it was a girl, he was very excited, like, oh, you know, girls are awesome and all this stuff. And she's like, well, you know, people ask me, do I want a boy? And I'm like, no, you know, I'm cool with my girls, because my girls will be my legacy. There's no escaping that. Like, that's not, I trust them, and I trust my own parenting to carry them, to carry my legacy on, just like they would, you know, if it was a boy. And this girl dad hashtag took off. And let me just preface this by saying, I'm not the one to rain on anybody's parade. I'm not the one to say, nigga, you're not a girl dad. Like, a girl dad is a parent with only a girl, or a dad with only a girl, or a girl dad is a man who actually trusts his daughter and loves his daughter and is raising his daughter to break those boundaries and to break those brick walls down, and is willing to stand by and support them to do those things. I saw things where, you know, I'd see men who I knew weren't active in their daughter's life claiming girl dad. And if this is what it takes to make a parent be active in their kid's life, so be it. And I hope that they follow through and they do what they're supposed to be doing. But I'm not a girl dad. And I mean, I'm not a dad of a girl dad. I mean, a girl of a girl dad, my bad. And seeing the hashtags and seeing the pictures of the fathers and their daughters really struck a chord in me. Not that I'm trying to trample over this space, because I think it's a beautiful space and I think it's a wonderful thing, because I know there are fathers out there that are wonderful, wonderful dads to their girls and are doing the work in dismantling these systematic things like misogyny, you know, and racism, to make sure their girls have a clearer path than they had as they travel along their way and they grow up. But I'm not gonna lie and say that there's not a tinge of something in me when I see fathers posting their daughters or girls posting their dads, like my dad was a girl dad, because I don't have that experience. And at 35 years old, you know, I have a wonderful stepfather. Wonderful. Not taking anything away from him. But my biological father was not a good father. And I don't have those memories. And I don't have a place where I remember being super close to my dad, or, you know, and it's hurtful. And I tweeted something out the other day. Was like, you know, there's no real space to talk about it. But then I realized I have a damn podcast, and I could talk about whatever I want. So I'm dedicating this space to the girls who don't have a dad who is active in their life, to the girls who see those relationships and wonder how different their lives would have turned out if they had an active father in their life. Not a male role model, not a stepfather, but their actual biological father stepping up and being more than just a person who provides meals and whatever to them, but being a person who can or who did supply their dream, or being a person who supported their dreams, or being a person who made them feel good about themselves, made them believe that they can be anything they wanted to do. Because, like I said, I don't have that experience, and it's been kind of tough seeing these posts. I don't know, it feels icky to say that even, and I'm doubting myself for even saying it, just because I don't want to trample on the movement. I don't want to say that those girls that are being raised by their dads and the dads that have girls that are proud of them, I'm glad that we have a space where we can acknowledge them. I think that Kobe Bryant was a great dad, you know, from everything that I saw. And I think that he was, like, when he retired, I didn't, you know, I wasn't a Kobe fan when he was playing because, you know, he was always playing up against the players that I liked. But as he retired and he threw himself behind coaching Gigi's team and being there and being an active father, you know, to kind of try to make up for the time that he missed when he was working and trying to support his family, you can't be mad at that. And that was a beautiful thing to see. And I know there are plenty of men that are making the same sacrifices for their daughters, so shout out to y'all. But if you're a girl who wasn't raised by her dad, or you're a girl who has complicated feelings about it, just know that you're seen and you're heard and you're not alone. And as I'm praying for myself and, you know, meditating for myself and trying to get past the hump, I'll be praying for y'all too. So we are in February of 2020. So far, so good for the year. January was the longest damn month of the year. And I don't know why it feels like that every year, but here we are. I think that as tax time is coming up and we're going to get a little bit of change, hopefully, this is a wonderful time to revisit the idea of maybe, absolutely, probably subscribing to the Flawless Noises Patreon. There is a $5 level and there is a $10 level. We are working on content for you so that you are getting something for your subscription. And I really think that $5 a month is a small price to pay if you decide on that level to support Black creatives, support LGBT creators as we carve a space out in this atmosphere of creativity and podcasts to bring you things that you will relate to. So make sure you check out our Patreon page, and I have a very special surprise that's coming to you mid-February. I have been working on it. I hope you enjoyed my episode that featured Colin, my boyfriend, because we are coming up in with a companion show to Mama Meets World about blending our families, and I think it's going to be good. We just recorded and we're picking it apart, and we are going to come back to you with something even stronger, and I just hope that you'll love it. It's exposing a side to myself that I never thought I'd have to expose. You know, I'm a single mom through and through, and I do still believe that I am a single mom, but, you know, as Colin and I become closer, as we're trying to blend our families, there are some very unique struggles that come with that, and I'm looking forward to sharing those with you because I don't want any of you to think that you're alone in any of the stages of your life, because I'm telling you, I've been through it, or I'm going through it, or I'm about to go through it. So once again, you can reach me on Twitter at Mama Meets Pod, Instagram is Mama Meets World Pod, Facebook page is Mama Meets World Podcast, and my email address is mamameetsworldpod@gmail.com. If you are going to be in the Atlanta area around the 28th, please hit me up on Twitter, on Facebook, on something. I would love to meet you. Bring your kids. I love to love on them too. You know I love the kids. I love the babies. We are going to be doing either a brunch or a dinner or something like that, and I'd love for you to come, and I'd love to like interact with y'all in real life and not just online. In the meantime, thank you so much for your support. We'll see you back here in 2 weeks. Y'all have a great 2 weeks.